Leo, I want to ask one final question. What events can we expect in the next 4 or 5 years on planet Earth?
Planet Earth, in the next few years, we'll see definitely some very big events. Starting from 2010, which is the end of a 13-year cycle, we will have some great clashes, especially in the economic field. And this will lead to also an oil crisis in the year 2012. There will be some triggering moments that really will change also the way we live in the next few years. Because at some point, if they lose control of us, then the war will start, civilian war, counter-insurgents, but this at the moment seems to me very far from it, because the majority of people out there are quite happy with their technological gadgets that give them the possibility of this modern life that they think is, wow, is incredible, and that is bringing to them some advantages that their ancestors didn't have. Well, it's all rubbish. We're actually polluting our food. Our food is rubbish compared to 50 years ago. If you want to buy good food, you have to buy the organic one, but you spend 4 times as much. All of this is made to make cash and at the same time to make us spend more money. And the quality of life is not necessarily increased with the fact that I have the internet or I have the phone, I can call all the world. Who cares if you can call all the world?
Okay, but you are saying there will be a change of consciousness, that it is anticipated and it
is
coming
around
2012.
What we will see, at least in the Illuminati, from my experience, what they will see in their eyes is that they have to implement the end of time scenario with a messiah, with somebody that can take the place of a driving force also on the spiritual arena. Because, you see, if I reveal to you the next stage of mankind in science, and this next stage in science is linked with the spiritual, that's when the material guys want to have control of the spiritual completely, otherwise they will lose their power on humanity. So that's why they're preparing this holy charade, you know, where every now and then we have more disinformation. Like, for example, Dan Brown. Dan Brown, the king of disinformation, you know. I still have part of the Knights Templars that is connected to me and is in favor of what I'm doing, though it's a minority respect to the majority of them.
Okay. A scenario for the future of... like 2012, that the Illuminati has
what happens,
what their plans are.
Well, the calculations are that after 2012 we're going to have 7 years of tribulation. This really brings us to 2019, the 7 years of tribulation in which we will have the coming of the Messiah. Now, you have to understand that the coming of the Messiah has been in a way opposed, and that's why so the Jesuits control the astronomic and control very closely the stars in order to know where any possibility of the rebirth of Christ might occur, of the rebirth of Jesus within certain bloodlines. So they have been searching these bloodlines, tracing any possible heir to this throne, which is the throne of the kingdom of God on earth. And they have made extensive research upon this. Now, 2015 should be the key date in when Jesus comes to Jerusalem and starts revealing himself to the mass. So let's say that the years that definitely go between 2012 and 2019 are the years of the Great Tribulation and great changes. There is also in the Jewish law certain years that have to be used in order to announce the law. 2012 is one of those years in which the law can be announced. Then there is certain years in which you can't announce the law. So even if a Messiah came, he will not be able to talk. So the Messiah has to come
Messiah
in a specific...
He has to already be born now if he's going to even, you know, talk to people. He'd be a child in 2012, would he not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But the Messiah has been already born, but is he a Messiah or is he an Antichrist? That's the thing. Because up until now, we have seen that the attempts of the New World Order to create a Messiah failed. Like Alice Bailey tried with Krishnamurti. and that failed completely. You know, they have the, they made this attempt.
And Jack Parsons, right?
Jack Parsons tried to make the Antichrist more than making the Messiah. You know, he was.
The child, right?
It's already known who this Messiah is.
See, because you have the Messiah, but then you have the Antichrist.
Do you believe this?
I believe the scriptures contain an amount of truth because you see, within certain families, within certain bloodlines, then it reoccurs that certain people have the possibility to have a message that is important for mankind. This happens to reoccur from time to time in certain families. Now, that's also where the study of the eugenics, that is, the study of the bloodlines, and that's where the mixing of the bloodlines, it's very important for the Illuminati to create strategic alliances. Now, the biggest strategic alliance that could be created at this time is a strategic alliance that will require unifying the Knights Templar's Christian alignment with the Muslim knights and their own alignment to their own end of times, and the Mahdi, the coming of the Mahdi, so the coming also of the Christ figure for them at the end of times is actually something that occurs in the Quran. So the holy texts don't differ, and the same for the Jews. They also have a specific idea of what the Messiah should or should be not. But in any case, Aleister Crowley announced that the Messiah will not be in any case Jewish by birth, pure Jewish, as they would say, you know. And also Aleister Crowley loved to take the gimmick out of the head rabbi in New York, telling him, okay, but I also tell you that I'm not the Antichrist, because he was the beast. So an Antichrist will come, there will be a false prophet, there will be certain characters. I think that during the course of times, characters happen to reoccur. So we have many antichrists, many false prophets,
but
at the end of times you have a very strong reflection of it.
You're talking about an analogic thought.
Analogic thought.
Is not the Bible, and is not some of this philosophy of the Illuminati much more analogy? You're talking about the coming of a Christ consciousness, but not necessarily a Christ figure.
But for the Illuminati, the important thing is to mix the two things. To have the Christ consciousness inside a human being that can be a manifestation of that consciousness.
That they can control, is what
no,
you mean.
Well, they would like to control, but God doesn't ever let things happen in the traditional way, as mankind likes to always take control, and hopefully, as I said before, they would like to even control if there is the birth of something dangerous to them, they directly eliminate it, so they don't have any problems. And that could be, for example, when Princess Diana was having a child from Dodi Al-Fayed. See, that would have created a problem. Muslim into the holy Christian background of the, you know, of this reigning family, which is one of the most important we have in the sacred Roman Empire environment, which is the British royal family. So that would have been very different. What I said before, the solution, the mix of the blood, the mix the Christian, mix the Muslim, but Muslim has to be the descendants of the Prophet Muhammad. So a specific bloodline has to be captured for that operation.
So are you saying that this person has been chosen, the birth has already happened?
These things are done between people who don't talk much. And they don't talk because if they talk, mankind will always say, this is not true, this is not poor, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that. This is not a matter of discussion for the Illuminati, because we know from inside, working with these things, that this is not a matter of assumptions, or it's a matter of science. So if you do certain operations and the result is correct, mankind can't do anything.
All right, you're talking about genetic engineering,
Messiah. No, that is the Antichrist.
Okay.
I can create the Antichrist with genetic engineering. That is not a problem. That is very
but
easy.
But you cannot create a Christ.
But the Christ is a different thing. The Christ is up to God to give us the final opportunity that this character will come into being, you know. So,
do you believe such a thing will happen?
I believe that definitely will happen.
Okay, and the Illuminati definitely believe this.
Absolutely.
Okay, and they believe
the Chosen One is always a recurring theme within the Illuminati. If I show you after some books from the inside the Illuminati environment, he's already chosen his space in the Council of Twelve. Your space has been chosen, Master. You are returning to greet us again with your mastership. He's already there. You understand? For the majority of people, though, to realize suddenly that we are not all the same, that certain bloodlines have this function, wow, it's the end of democracy. It's also the end of a whole realization that we are all the same. It's basically the end of communism. Guys, under the truth, there is no communism on this universe, because this is a pyramid. From God to us is a hierarchy. And the structure is always going to stay a hierarchy, because...
Oh, you're saying that the hierarchy of the bloodline, you believe in this?
I left the Illuminati, but I can't leave the bloodlines. The thing is, the bloodlines have to change themselves and embrace the positive in order to us to have another messenger like Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, like Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, like Moses. Certain characters can come out if eventually they have the possibility of coming out. But obviously, if they are boycotted from all sides, then it's worth rethinking of the tale of the Grand Inquisitor. You know this tale. If I come out and say, tomorrow morning, the time Jesus, I'm going to have very big problems. And in ancient times...
Well, isn't it true that this is going to be the nature of anyone who comes forward anyway?
You will be locked up. After 2 minutes, this secret will be judged as dangerous.
Is there a control scenario to reduce the world's population drastically?
You see, that is another thing that definitely is to do with the resources more than to do with objectively, the Illuminati want to do money on us. They are heading the corporates. The secret societies are making business on us. So for them, they don't have a program to eliminate us. But the problem is the heads of the whole thing. When they see that there is missing the resources for all of us to be living at the same time, then they have to eliminate part of the population. In that case, they bring in the weapons, they bring in the wars that can make sure, or the disasters that can make sure that the population gets decreased.
Is this in progress at the moment?
See, the thing, you asked me before about the underground bases, and my experience is that they actually not only exist, but they are being held for maybe an upcoming scenario which is going to be apocalyptic. There seems to be in the Illuminati a firm belief that the coming back of Christ will coincide with a series of disasters that will change the face of the earth forever, including the possibility of the elimination of 3/4 of the population of mankind. But this is not man who is deciding this. This is only God that can decide this. I hope that they will make a clever use of these places. But they are being really evil. They are even stationing the seeds of the future generations in a base up north. I don't know, they're doing obscene things that in the eyes of God are an insult to anything. I want to say, the solution will come at the end, but these people will be defeated. And they will be defeated with a long war. But this long war, unfortunately, the Americans will have to be fought. And many lives will have to fall for it. So, we can't fight a war without the dead people on the ground. At the end, there will be a war, and there will be dead people on the ground. Because the moment they want to microchip me, I'm going to take out a gun and shoot at them. that's the thing, you know. So, it's down to be a bit realistic. In this conspiracy movement, we haven't seen sometimes much realism. How we embrace the future. I have people, patriots from America, calling me every 2 minutes. Oh, we are ready here with this, that weapon. We have building a big bunker here, another thing there. We are ready for this. Ready for what? You are a few hundred people or a few thousand. Okay. You can have an enormous stash of weapons, preparing for an Armageddon scenario, but at the end of the day, it's worth nothing in front of the fact that we have the military here involved, the weapon dealers, the OCCAR. People don't even know what the OCCAR is, so I don't need to talk to people who don't know what the OCCAR is. What is that? This is the Organization for the Selling and Methodical of Weapons. how they have to be said, when they have to be said, and when they have to be and how they have to be developed for the setting. Then, you know, those weapons always go to the African countries, so we always give them a couple of old weapons. But the thing is this, the weapon business is the big business. You make the cash. I was a rich man when I was in that kind of business. Now I'm a poor man. Well, the difference is that now I'm an honest man. Before, I was a crook.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's
not easy. It's not easy to be honest, because I tell you, I miss definitely.
Yes. As you know, we're also here to meet with our Norwegian politician contact,
yes,
who went on record to talk about the involvement of Norway,
yes,
and the Norwegian politicians.
What I said,
some kind of scenario. Are you able to say anything to, yes, substantiate his testimony?
Absolutely.
Because he stands alone at the moment with,
yes,
his courage,
yes,
and a lot of people say,
sure,
that either he's inventing it or that we're inventing it.
What I can say is, from my own experience, is on the ground basis.
He said he would name the basis.
Yeah, no,
that's what he said.
Definitely there is basis here. I mean, there is a base in Oslo for over 2,000 people. The entrances are in the east, in the west side of Oslo, in Vika. There is some entrances towards the port in Frogner. I mean, this is underground bases that have been constructed to protect the population in a situation of emergency. That is without no doubt. And at the same point, as I said, for various experiments. And to keep the gold, because gold seems to be, at the end of times, if all the banks fall and everything falls into a chaos, gold seems to be this hard, consistent currency that can be used for a moment. Now, Norway has built for many years this kind of special deposit for money, this oil tax they call it, for a big deposit that needs to protect them for the times in which they were feeling the resources. That is the official, you know, statement. Why are you putting all this money on the side, taxing people like heck, making us live in this way? In Norway, everybody could be a millionaire in Norway, you know, if they really release the money from the oil they are getting. But instead, it's not like that. We are living, some people in Norway are even living on the verge of poverty, because these people have to build the bunkers, have to construct all this, and at the moment in Norway, the military are increasing their line of control over people, all the technology. I have a personal experience. The police is, I have informants in the police at this moment of time that told me how they're developing and how they're working with the ultimate technologies to control us. They're listening to us now. They are controlling every single moment. And they are able to now, on the verge of the revolution of the microchip, which is truly revolutionary for them, because at that point, the moment in which they chip us, then they can let the resources fall apart, but they have still control of us. The cities can get out of control, can fall, the whole structure can be destroyed, but we will still be monitored from the satellites. Because that is something we have to keep in mind. So the moment of disaster for them is also a moment in which they still don't have to keep control of the loose cannons running around. Otherwise, there will be definitely the possibility of a true insurgence. So here in Norway, we have already a passport with microchip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have noticed it, if somebody has showed it to you. But Norway is, like all Scandinavian countries, the one that in the Illuminati experiment represents a primer. Also regarding the mixing of races, for example, for a period of time, it's well known also within the NATO reports that this country specifically were kept out of contamination of immigration because their bloodlines had to be kept pure, you know. Great. Well, always to do with the bloodlines. Now the bloodlines are mixing up. The scenario is lost. We have those still in Norwegian Freemasonry, a bunch of degenerate Christian fundamentalists who are also Nazis, from my own personal experience. They say that in the war they fought the Nazis, and they were great patriots. And actually Himmler made a museum there where you saw today the Grand Lodge for a period of time, to show how these people were manipulating the scene. He said, okay, this is the museum of the Freemasons who are controlled by the Zionists and are part of this establishment. But he forgot to say that the Freemasons are actually controlled by the Vatican. The most enlightened brother of the Red Cross in Norway is the 11th degree, who is linked to the Vatican and is approved by the Vatican, because this kind of Freemasonry is actually officially approved in every single ritual has been read, because of the high content of esoteric knowledge, the Swedish system needed to be approved by the Vatican. Because they had to leave the last blessing on top of this system, so a Freemason from France, an officer from the France, went with all the rituals to the Pope and showed the Swedish Rite rituals and said, you approve His Excellency this ritual, you know? He approved. That's it. So if he approves this bunch of pagan, Egyptian nonsense, and this kind of things, what kind of world is this? It's an hypocrite world, where on one side they're claiming to be monotheistic and believe in one God, on the other side they're worshipping all kinds of gods. There is definitely a clash. You know.
What about Berlusconi?
Berlusconi, the well-known P2 member, he's...
He's trying to come back into power, right, in Italy?
He is going to be back into power probably very soon. There is no alternative because there is no the church make this government fall down. And why is that? Why is it Prodi is now saying I'm going to take care of my grandsons and leave in politics? Because he did one wrong thing to the Pope, and the Pope the week after made the government fall down. The Pope was supposed to have a lecture at the University of Rome, La Sapienza. This lecture couldn't happen because of the opposition inside the university, with all the people reminding, you know, that Giordano Bruno was burned on the stake, that Galileo was arrested, that a lot of things will have happened, that, you know, the Pope shouldn't come to the Rome University or other place. So he didn't go. But the week after, he managed, with the Christian Democrats of Mastella, to make the government fall down. And Prodi now is going to go and play cricket, you know, or play golf or whatever. I mean, it's not going to be anymore into the field of politics, because he rebelled once. Well, he created this possibility of the Pope not going to the UNESCO. That's not, I mean, that shows you the power of the Pope. The Pope doesn't have to talk much. Prodi does one thing wrong, he's out. Scrapped off the books. Here, far, Bilderberg, whatever. He can be whatever he wants.
Now, okay, so who's coming into power in America? Do you know? Is it going to be Barack Obama, or is it going to be
now, in the last few days, if you go on the internet, you will see that Rens.com and other websites, Illuminati News, have published an article where I state that Barack Obama is a Prince Hall Freemason, 32 degree Freemason, and also a CFR member. He has written a big article lately on this Council of Foreign Relations.
Okay, yes, and you said that earlier, but yes. What about Hillary Clinton?
She's another CFR member. It's like, you know, there is no difference really between these candidates, who they are, who is the background. People say, ah, but the guy is black. Well, the guy is black. The guy is even related to Bush and Clinton, to Bush and Dick Cheney, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really like we're really searching for somebody who is, you know, coming from another planet. He's coming from the same environment. You know, it's a human like everybody else. Probably a more innocent guy than others, so he's more easy to manipulate, because the moment in which they want to implement true fascism is the moment in which they will make you believe that anti-fascism is in place. So to put Barack Obama as president and Hillary as vice president is a possibility that the Democratic Convention might take, or vice versa, depending on who is getting more votes at the end of this next book.
Okay, I have one last question for you.
But definitely McCain is not going to win. Why? Because George Hugo Ballesteri stated, director of the government of New York, these elections we support the Democrats. So Republicans are not on the list of support of the Illuminati. They can't make it. McCain can climb walls, can do whatever he wants, he's not going to become anything. Poor guy, too old, really.
Okay. So Leonardo da Vinci. He was a member of the Illuminati or no?
Definitely a guy like him, very Illuminati. It's natural, you know. You see, it's Illuminati. I mean, it's Illuminati, the whole concept around him, you know. The guy was a genius. The problem is that from there to make him the Grand Master of a Priory of Zion, totally fictitious. What was the Priory of Zion? Priory of Zion was a society that was born in Mount Zion in Palestine, where you have this Cathedral of Zion, whatever. And basically what happened was this. This order lasted for a very short period of time. And people say, what is the Priory of Zion today? Priory of Zion, if you go and search on the history books, has melted in with the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist any prior. The other six priories of Zion that exist today on the internet or whatever, or Plantar Sinclair has created, Plantar Sinclair was the biggest piles of rubbish and fraud and an agent of the Illuminati, because he was an agent of Gladio. He was like Licio Gelli. He wanted to create great myths, which he picked up from his friend, Robert Tamberlane, from the Martinists. He picked up the myth, well, obviously the Martinists had created this church, it was the Kabbalistic order of the Rose Cross that had created all the esoteric part of the René Château Church with the Abbé Saunier. He was a genuine esoteric interested guy, but all the rest is rubbish. Where he took all his money? Well, from the initiations that they were paying him, because he was making that church profitable the moment in which he was inviting all these people to initiate themselves into high, glorious, rectified Scottish Rite, another peculiar Templar foundation of that were created in a way mythological, fictitious, but had a ground of truthness. The prior of Zion of Plantar Sinclair is also Catholic. The all the people involved with it, I have a personal, I can show you documents involved with the prior of Zion. The people involved nowadays, Gino Sandri, the secretary of Plantar Sinclair, was a member of the Monte Carlo Lodge. Gino Sandri is also one of the biggest intelligence crooks there is around.
Okay, and CIA is completely run by the Vatican, is that what you're saying?
No, CIA is completely run by the Vatican. They call on themselves, they confer, the priests are very run. It's all about working together. It's not about running each other. Each other in their own, you know, we take care of this, which is the spirit of mankind, give a couple of blessings, plus you need to make some charity every now and then, tax deductible if possible. We have the church, we have a lot of organizations, you give the charity. If you give good charity, you are a good man, and I give you blessings. This is done also in the Russian Orthodox Church, where since the fall of the Soviet Union, you see this big priest going around with Mercedes, limousine, whatever. Why? Because they're getting a bunch of money from these sinners of the Russian mafia, who are sinning like heck, you know, and have six lovers, 12, whatever, the wife there waiting, eh? But at the end of the day, they give money to the church. That saves their, I saw a lot of people, and also in Islam, I saw so many people, they give charity. Okay, I respect that. But then what do you do in your daily life? Do you really respect the Quran? Do you really respect established? They don't follow, they just give the charity in order to save their asses with God, if possible.
Jesuit footage, there's a reference not to the SIV, but the SVS. And Lucas Cantamburro did not know what that was, and hasn't been able to find out. Do you know what that is? The SVS?
Servizio Vaticano Segreto. Servizio Informazioni Vaticano.
Oh, right, the Secret Service of the Vatican.